live from the pits of Malfo City, it's Friday Night Fodown. Brought to you by Steam-Powered Scoundrels. Steam-Powered Scoundrels for the itchy parts.
Hey everyone, this is Doug from Steam-Powered Scoundrels. We decided we wanted to put together another show for you. We're not getting rid of the old show, it's just we want something that we could put more random topics into, something of a little less thought and a little less effort that we could pump out a lot faster. So we're bringing in Friday Night Fodown. This is a short topic show that's going to take place over an hour. We'll have a timer and everything. We'll all announce a topic and the discussion will go around the table a couple times. So just sit back and enjoy the show. Welcome to the first episode of Friday Night Fodown. The date is March 24th, 2017. Our guests here today are Victoria.
Hello.
Dave.
Howdy.
Mark.
Hello.
And Trey.
Hello, everybody.
How you guys doing?
Fantastic thus far.
Didn't all answer once.
Okay, as I've specified before in the rules, this is going to be an hour-long discussion on several topics, fairly random. Hopefully most of them are topical. And we are going to get started on that in...
however long it takes me to set up a timer.
How long it takes me to set up a timer. Thank you, Victoria. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Mark. All right, our first topic is not up on the board shit.
Good start.
I'm the best at this. The A Weird Place fight that went on earlier this week, specifically, should Weird go free with their cards and distribute them digitally? The person in question, we're not going to talk about him because there was a big fight going on about this, but he specifically said that, like other miniature companies, Weird should distribute the card data for free so that person could go through them, figure out what they wanted to buy before they made their purchase, and thus allowing people to use the digital cards for playing games and making gameplay much easier. Top of the key for this turn is Victoria. What's your opinion on that?
Honestly, I can see why Weird would maybe not want to do that. I think it would be helpful for players. And I know for a while there, they had the Wave 4 cards out on the Masters, out on the Weird official site, if you went in and looked at them. Do they not do that with... no, they don't have all of them out there.
They only have Masters on their website.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I think they didn't have the back of the cards either, did they?
No, they had the backs. They had...
yeah, full cards for Masters.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about it in one of our episodes because we were gushing over the new site. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I think it would be really super helpful for them to have the card data out there just so people can plan what they want to buy. But I think with Malifaux, there are a lot of people who are also completionists and they're going to buy everything regardless. So I can kind of see both sides where Weird would maybe not want to do that just because intellectual property, but I can also see where it would be helpful for players.
You good?
Yeah, I don't really have a strong opinion on it either way.
Okay, Dave?
I definitely think they should at least do something similar to what Privateer Press has done with their War Room application, where even if you don't buy the faction, you still have access to full cards of, say, one starter box for Malifaux, for example. So if you want to get into Arcanist, you might have access to the MNSU box, so you can see if you like Ramos, Joss, Howard, Spiders, that sort of thing. And then have the option to purchase a full deck. Because it's currently, you can kind of get around this by flipping back and forth between something like Crufo and Pull My Finger, but since Pull My Finger is more of a community resource, it's not exactly what the card says, so you might get the wrong impression.
I think they did that on purpose to keep people from actually using the website to...
it's definitely intentional, but sometimes even like the tactics kind of are a little dated or might push you in the wrong direction for how a card might work. So having the option to be able to just go from one source backed by Weird as a revenue source to get you in and be able to build a crew that matches up to the cards you have would be huge for the tournament scene, at least.
All right, Mark?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, having it there and, you know, available for the tournament scene is definitely useful, but it's not something that is not, you know, something that's going to be terribly easy for them to set up. They can't just devote the time to doing it. It's going to have to be some sort of paid service. So going free is not an option, I think, unless, you know, they're just going to do it out of the goodness of their hearts. But it is, after all, a company, and it does have to make money. So I believe it should have it, but it's also should be a price either per pack or per app. And you download the app and then just pay a straight fee when you download the app.
Trey.
I think everything is perfect the way it is right now. And reason number one is because everything in Malifaux is fairly even in regards to model versus model or crew versus crew. You can kind of use anything you want. So having access to the cards doesn't change that. So people should continue to purchase them the way they currently are, just based off of aesthetics or based off of the idea that it looks correct with their crew or may work with their crew. And also, point number two, is it creates a community. In Warhammer, Warm Hordes, or Infinity, or any of those, since you have access to any of the armies, any of the cards, anything like that, you don't have to go talk to someone about what they think. You can just read through your books, through your cards, and decide for yourself what you think is the best, and then just go play it. But in Malifaux, someone has a Rasputina card that you've never seen before. You have to go, oh, hey, your name's Doug. Hey, it's nice to meet you. I'm Trey. Can you please show me your Rasputina card? Because I've never seen it, and I don't know how she works.
I really enjoy that point. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to get a little bit into the company right here. Weird is pretty small. I don't know the other size of the other miniature companies, but Weird doesn't have a lot of people working for it. So asking them to do something that they really haven't done before, in this case getting into software, creating an app. And I know they said they were coming out with something, but I don't think it's for this. And since it's been quite a bit since they said they're coming out with it, it looks like they're spending quite a bit of time on that. So this is a large investment for them to do that. Also, you know, you could buy the books. They have the cards in them. I know most people don't really want to shell out $50, $45, wherever you're getting your book from, for just the cards. But, you know, the fluff's really good as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to add to that, is it has all the fluff in it.
Mm-hmm. Fluff is good. Oh, Malifaux is so much tied with its fluff. You can't really separate it like you can with other games. But that's a book a year. And considering the price point Malifaux has compared to a lot of other miniatures, it's still relatively cheap. Another solution, which they kind of did, they kind of made a solution, but they didn't keep going with it, was the arsenals. Now, that was just to get things updated, moving from version 1.5 to 2, so that people that had the old models could update their cards. But I think it would be relatively simple for them to just also start distributing card packs with every update. And that way they don't have to go digital, don't have to create an app, and people can, you know, flip through the cards if they really want to, pay considerably less for a deck of cards than for a new rule book. I think my last point, if I can remember what it is. Sometimes I'm not that fast on my feet. I'll try and remember what it is. Second round. Rebuttals? Second thoughts?
Victoria. Yeah, can I add something else to that price point?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
In Warm Hordes, when you purchase a box of whatever it may be, you get the cards in that box. But if you want to play with that faction in the app, you then still have to purchase those cards in the app. So it's doubling your purchase. At least a small amount, maybe not a full double. Malifaux has such a small entry point and such a small cost point that brings a lot of people in. If you told all of them, hey, you just bought this crew box and you have all the cards, but if you actually want to use the app, you have to pay again.
Hey, I just remembered the point I was trying to make. No, you made a good point, but I just want to keep this rolling. I haven't played War Machine, Hordes, that sort of thing. I've seen and played a couple other miniatures games, but Malifaux has got really, really wordy and complicated cards. There's no way around it. And something that takes a lot of words, something that's extremely unique from model to model, doesn't seem to transfer that well to a digital system, where a lot of games, it's just like, here's the stat line for your dudes and possibly a couple special keywords that make special rules, whereas Malifaux, it's paragraphs and paragraphs of stuff for some very simple characters. Who's typing? I can hear you.
Sorry.
So you can respond to that, Dave, since you played.
To kind of counter the seemingly double dipping for the faction cards, the way it worked with the War Room app was you paid that, I think it was $7 or $8, and then that deck that you bought is continuously updated. So any errata, new models come out, any of that, the day it's released, it's in the app. So you don't have any confusion on, hey, how does new Lucius work? Well, I have to go wait for a new card, or I can just bring it up on my phone here and take a look, which sure, you can do that with a PDF they put out, print out a card, do that sort of thing as well, if you have access to a printer. But it was very convenient to make sure that you weren't accidentally missing how it worked, how a model worked. Just at a glance, which was really helpful. Yeah, you are kind of double dipping, but you pretty much have those factions cards for life, was how that worked.
Until they decide to stop supporting it.
Okay. Which they did.
They did that
in Mark III. They made all the everything is free for everything, so kind of a moot point there.
Shut up, Dave. We got to get back on turn order.
I know. I'm just explaining how it's worked in the past, which in turn,
he's not shutting up.
I know. Well, to finish,
I'm the TO. You're supposed to listen to me.
to have my rebuttal, or are we doing in turn order for the rebuttal?
Yeah, you can waste our time on turn order, Victoria.
Say what now?
Technically, we're on the second turn. I mean, second round. What's up? Do you have any other thoughts, or are you done?
I don't. I already put in my thoughts for this one. I mean, I honestly don't have a dog in this fight.
Don't care.
I don't care that much if they go free and digital or not, because I've always just bought my models based on what I think looks cool.
A lot of people do that, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, Dave, you can talk.
Okay, sorry. So somebody brought up the point of it costing development time to get up and running and maintain and all that. Yes,
I did.
But you're not having to print thousands and thousands of decks that might sit on a shelf for months or a year or however long. You just update it digitally. You don't have to waste the printing money to make physical copies. That's it.
Save the trees!
That was my last point I was trying to get across. So,
have you been to Malifaux? The trees fight back.
They do. All
right. Mark.
I feel like regardless, they're going to print the cards. Even if they have the digital source, not everyone is going to either have access to on like a smartphone or something or want to put it on their phone. So even if they did make the app and they made it, either cost or free, whatever, that they're still going to print it out regardless. So I think that's not so much of an issue. But I think just the ease of access of it is just huge. Like, especially, I personally don't have very many, but I play with people at the local place here that have damn near every model, and they've got an entire binder full. And you ask them to look at a card, and they got to search through this entire big binder for it. And just the ease of access of having that on a phone and just typing in the search bar to find the character is just tremendously so much better than, like I said, having to search through hundreds of cards.
Okay. Trey?
I already said mine. I went out of order. I apologize.
It's turn one, episode one.
Yeah. And I know Dave enough to get mad at him, and I know he's not going to run away or anything.
Oh, yeah. Track you down?
Bring it on, Dave.
Do you want to be back on the show?
I'm okay with going with eventually having it some sort of digital option. I don't think it's going to be as useful in actual play as physical cards. I think they can do packs relatively cheaply. Just print a run with every new book that comes out and then just leave it be. If people need it, they'll be able to find the packs. Note that's kind of just tangentially related is that we might be a little bit too defensive of our game. While the guy could have worded his words better and be a little less abrasive, I don't think we need to immediately jump at someone's throat when they suggest an improvement for your game. And
people are afraid of change.
Yeah. That's my ending remarks. I think we'll move on to turn two. The topic. getting back to cards. The printing fiasco with Wargame Vault this year. Weird came out with their new errata system and errated a bunch of things. Some improvements, some nerfs or cuddle, or what's the word they use on the forums?
Cuddle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's cuddles. I was right. Awesome. Some cuddles. Overall, I think the reception was pretty good to what they changed. But getting the new cards out to people seemed to be a bit of an issue. They went with Wargame Vault, which is does mostly print media for games, miniatures, and other stuff like that. And the first run of new errata decks came out, and people received them, and they were of the old unerratted version of those cards. And then they sent out a second wave, and they were still sending out the old cards, and people got mad, and this took like over a month for some folks to finally get the proper cards so they could play their models that Weird wants them to play. So we're getting thoughts from Trey first.
So I have really harsh feelings about this, but I do have to correct you a little bit. Not everyone received the incorrect cards the first time or even the second time. It was a complete disaster across the board because certain people received the correct cards the first time, some people the second time, some people the third time, some people the fourth time, and it was just mind-blowing how inconsistent and crazy it was. My biggest problem with this whole thing is that, first off, Weird gave Wargame Vault a complete monopoly over printing their cards. I'm fine with Weird outsourcing it because they're such a small company, but they really should have found a second company as well to compete with Wargame Vault in case of these disasters, or in case Wargame Vault has problems. Because I just recently ordered cards, and it took almost a month to get my cards. They weren't errata cards, they were just basic cards, and the shipping time and the processing time and everything just took forever. So I would really like Weird to not give Wargame Vault the monopoly.
Mark?
Yeah, this all happened kind of before I actually got into the game. So I just kind of reading up and hearing, the second hand after. Yeah, I'm within the last month or so. But even then, I bought cards that even now are not the correct cards. I had to get the eroded versions after, which is, to me, extremely poor salesmanship just from Weird itself. If you're buying something and it's already been eroded, but you're still selling the old boxes with the non-eroded cards, it's really not that hard just to switch out the cards, especially after you already had this big old fiasco. And, you know, a month after it, you're still selling the old cards, and you have to buy the eroded ones after again. It's just ridiculous. Specifically the Death Marshals. I just bought the Death Marshals through their website. What was it called?
Yep.
The online store, and they shipped it with the old cards in it, not the eroded cards. So I had to get the eroded cards after the fact.
Oh, you got screwed too.
Yeah.
Well, my specific issue was that I tried to order the cards, but they were already, I think they were sold out before people realized that they were the wrong cards in the first place. So I had to wait a long time, and then I kept hearing people say, oh no, they've still got the wrong cards, they still haven't shipped out the correct ones yet. So it took us till about early February before we could actually order the proper cards, confident that we would get the correct ones. And so that's a month of playing with the wrong cards. And it's kind of silly, really. And I think Trey put it best, is that we didn't have any sort of option. And complaining wasn't going to do anything. And we couldn't really hold it against Weird themselves, really. I mean, we can tell Weird that they need to find someone else or do it themselves. But everyone kind of felt a little bit helpless. And the weird thing was that they seemed to have a weird printing apology thing, because some people kept getting sets of cards. They had received the eroded cards, and then they kept getting more and more of them somehow.
My henchman got four sets of the corrected cards.
Jeez. Oh, Lord. So, I mean, that's not a bad thing. It's not the best apology, but at least I don't know if that was itself another mistake, so it makes them look even worse, or if they were just trying to apologize in a very awkward way. Anyways, Dave.
You know what would have fixed this?
What?
Digital.
And mic drop.
This is perfect.
No, I heard that there were some issues. So I did hold off until about the same time you did to order my set of cards. They came through correct the first time, so I didn't have the issues that everyone had in January. And I was lucky enough to have a printer, so I just printed off the cards myself to use them for that month once they figured out what was going on with the printing and corrected it. It shouldn't have happened. They probably should have been sent to Weird in bulk for those cards, so they could have proofed them and then sent them directly through Weird rather than ordering through Wargame Vault.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
To make sure that the quality you get from ordering a Weird product is maintained by Weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Weird's customer service is so nice.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. So hearing that this was such a kerfuffle is kind of a bummer.
Any thoughts, Vic?
I don't have a lot that everybody else hasn't said. It's honestly not a thing that should have happened. They should have
checked it, like, once?
Yeah, they should have just taken a look at some of the cards they were sending out. And
well, it's, I guess, since some people initially got the correct cards, it's possible that, like, the pack that they checked was the correct, fine, but and everything underneath it wasn't.
I suppose. I don't know, it just seems like something that shouldn't happen. Just that you should be doing your quality control well enough that you don't send out, like, a billion incorrect cards.
And then send out
even more wrong cards, yeah. After you've been notified of a problem with what you're shipping out, you should probably be checking, like, everything.
Okay, second round, second thoughts, rebuttals, possibly your suggestions for what should happen in the future. I know I already know what you want to say, Trey, but go ahead.
I don't even think I know what to say, but I think Dave's idea was brilliant, that everything should go through Weird. I mean, like, send out parts to other people and sell those other parts without their name on it, unless they've actually checked it, unless they actually know. So I agree that Weird should have received those cards and checked them themselves. But I think regardless of what changes in the future, I just hope that they figure something out to change, so when the next errata comes out, we don't have the same problem again.
Mm-mm. Mark?
Yeah, I don't got much to add to it. Just hopefully it's, you know, the whole apology by sending multiple cards. I mean, unless you got buddies who didn't order them, you know, it's kind of those extra cards are now just going to be sitting at the bottom of the pile doing nothing at this point. So I'm not sure if that was an apology, what the real point of it was.
Oh, I'm next. thought that hasn't been expressed yet. Oh, this is just me bitching about Wargame Vault. You can either buy the pack, all the errata cards, and I don't really need a Lucius. I only needed about a third of those. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'll do them piecemeal. But the problem is that doing it piecemeal, you have to do every single individual card. And things like Death Marshals, you need three. But they have three different Death Marshal cards, and you got to select all of them. So that's a lot more time than I felt like I needed to spend. I would think that the default should be just, if there's multiple cards for one single model, just start off by selling them the three cards. Because if we lost, I think, a Void Wretch, I think we just accidentally forgot to order a Void Wretch.
No, it was a Death Marshal.
It was a Death Marshal.
I've got three Void Wretches. It's a Death Marshal.
Okay.
I agree. I just did a huge order, and it took forever.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Dave?
I hope this is the first and last time that this happens. I ordered the Gaining Grounds 2016 cards last year with no problem immediately as soon as they were available. So I'm hoping this is a one-time thing, but with something happening this flagrant, hopefully Weird takes note and maybe does additional quality control for the next errata in June or whenever it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Vic, any extra thoughts?
No, not especially. I don't have a solution either. Like Trey, I do like Dave's original idea with having them come through Weird first. It's a little bit more labor intensive, and it's going to take a little bit longer, but if everybody gets the right cards the first time, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, it kind of leaves a sour note on the new way they're going to do errata. I guess you could argue that a solution would be them just not doing errata anymore.
Don't do it.
The thing is, though, with new models coming into the game, you're gonna have to balance stuff.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that person. I'm just saying I could try to be.
You could try to be that person.
Don't even try.
Please.
No, Terracotta Warriors are fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nurses don't have a problem. I don't know.
Please keep erratas. Please, for the love of God.
I think we said all we can say about that, so we're going to move on to turn three. Weird announced on Monday. I believe it was Monday. So they always... their schedule for announcing new stuff is Monday. They have a forum dedicated on their forum. Two new things coming from them. One of them's Malifaux-related. One of them is not. Board games. Specifically, an expansion to an existing board game they have, which is...
Darkness Comes Rattling.
Darkness Comes Rattling. Thank you very much for saving me on that. Which, all I've seen is the artwork for it. The artwork looks fine, but I know nothing about the game. And the other one, which I think everyone's probably more interested in, at least for the Malifaux community, which is the people listening to this, probably.
Probably.
Is a new Bayou Bash board game. Which is a racing game taking place in the Bayou by Gremlins, I'm going to assume. Where you race around the board, and the win condition isn't based on who crosses the finish line first, but who has the most fans. And you can influence fans, and in fact, you can kill fans.
Oh my.
Yeah, it's one of those races. And so a couple pictures have been fooling around with new models coming out, and some of those are from the game. I want to get everyone's thoughts on that. starting with Mark. It's probably not going to be a long topic.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research on it. I mean, Trey kind of explained it as basically Mario Kart with, you know, with actual, with fans. So it's, it's, I mean, I guess I would have to see it in action because it's almost, I mean, it's something that's like, it sounds like it could be cool, but like my first thought of it is it's just going to be, you know, not fun. But like I said, I have to see it in action to actually make a decision on that, because it just the sound of it, I don't like it, but I would definitely have to hold judgment until I actually played it.
All right, Dave.
Yeah, the racing one sounds like it's going to be a blast. Hopefully it can be played relatively quickly, so it can be kind of a starter game to a board game night, or like a, just like a palate cleanser. But yeah, I'm hoping it comes with actual models, because Gremlins need more pigs, obviously.
You should probably go out and look at those pictures, because I know one of them is like riding some sort of bird of prey or an owl or something. So not, and the artwork we see is a war rabbit. Cool. So I think the races are going to be very different and very wacky. Oh, I guess I'm next. Okay, cool. Good, because I was talking. I'm not entirely sure if any of these models are actually going to be new models for the game of Malifaux itself. Because I think people would probably complain if Weird just came out with a singular Gremlin expansion set. I mean, and no one's going to be like really mad, but I think there'll be folks that would be kind of bitter. So I'm guessing that these might be just procs, might be alt models. Which no one's going to really complain, because they're not really new, quote unquote. But, oh shoot, here I go forgetting what I was going to say again. Did anyone read the story this is based on?
Bayou Bash? Or...
Yeah.
I have not yet.
Nope. I think the game might actually... I mean, I knew it's a story. It was just... I think someone thought Somer was dead. So to elect the new leader, they have a Bayou Bash, which is the big race. And then at the end, Somer obviously wakes up from his nap and shoos everyone away. But it's very wacky. The Mario Kart reference is quite apt. It's very gremlin-y. If you are entertained by gremlins, you're probably going to have fun with this. And, you know, I absolutely love Malifaux, so I'm pretty sure Weird can make a good board game. I haven't played any of the other games, but I'm interested in it. And really, really and sadly, the price point is probably what's going to decide it for me. Hey, Victoria, thoughts?
Yeah. Honestly, I have no idea about Darkness Comes Rattling. Bayou Bash, though, I'm into wacky racers. I think it would be fun. You remember that character?
Wacky racers.
It looks fun. I like that it's not just a straight up race and that you have to do stuff besides being the fastest. So that's...
You could also be the punchiest.
You could be the punchiest. Or you can be the most popular or whatever, and I think that's nice in a board game.
For Gremlins, it would be the most popular, probably would be the punchiest.
Probably.
And last but not least, Trey, your thoughts?
I agree with everyone that the Bayou Bash looks absolutely awesome. I came up with the Mario Kart reference because I love Mario Kart, and I hope it's something like board game Mario Kart. But for the Darkness Comes Rattling, I've looked at the rulebook for the original board game online multiple times, and I get two or three sentences into how you play, and it just does not sound interesting. So I'm hoping that the expansion kind of changes that a little bit, and I look back at it again and say it's something I want to pick up.
Cool. All right, additional thoughts, rebuttals, going back to you, Mark.
Yeah, I don't got much. Like I said, I would have to play it. Until I do, I don't have much else to say on it.
All right, Dave?
I hope eventually they have additional faction expansions. I just want to see Ramos in a spider car.
Jeez.
That's awesome.
Okay, so we'll restart this round just thinking, do you think they're going to introduce new models that can be played in Malifaux? And if so, what's your reaction to that? Mark, again.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's like, if they build the universe as like a, as a total like expanded universe where they could play multiple, you know, characters in both, yeah, that'd be cool. Definitely something to build on.
Dave?
Yeah, like I said, Spider Ramos car. I'm all for it.
I'm not entirely sure I like that, per se. Just because the only thing I can think, the only reference I have is Warhammer 40K, where every once in a while they'll come out with a board game, and sometimes the models in that board game are unique specifically to that board game, that you can play those in 40K or regular Warhammer, Age of Sigmar, they call it now. You can play those, but the only way to get them is through this pretty expensive board game. I really hope Weird doesn't go that route. If they are new models, I hope that they'll package those by themselves and sell those either individually or at least as a group, saying, hey, if you don't not interested in this board game, here's the models, at least. I'm looking at the pictures they showed up that are showing that of these racers, and they look great. Yeah, that's an owl. I'm pretty sure that's an owl. Is that an owl?
It's either an owl or some sort of a hawk.
It's a gremlin riding an owl. He's got some aviator goggles on. He looks hilarious. And there's another one riding a walking stump, like a baby Waldgeist, possibly. It's adorable. I want it. So yeah, it's definitely not just going to be gremlins riding pigs, which would probably be kind of boring. All right, Victoria?
Honestly, I don't think they're going to introduce models for Malifaux in the Bayou Bash game, just because historically, that's not a thing they've done. They've had Puppet Wars out for a while, and while a lot of their models are very similar, and you can use them as proxies for other things, I don't think they have any models in that board game that you can only get in that board game that you play in Malifaux. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to start doing it now. And I don't want them to.
Trey?
This may sound mean, but going back to your Warhammer reference, Weird isn't money-hungry assholes, and they don't charge a huge amount for silly things. And so I highly doubt that they would ever force you to buy a board game in order to play another model. Like Victoria said, I think they're just going to release these models, and I would be very happy to see other types of board games or expansions to the Bayou Bash with other factions, because I love alts, and I love seeing different types of models out on the board. So, I mean, please make all the Mounted Guard have a race in Bayou Bash.
I think possibly going the wacky racers route. Everyone needs to have their own ridiculous cart. So yeah, the spider car for Ramos. I'm assuming Karis would be just like some sort of mechanical phoenix. Ironsides would just run herself.
Okay, but wait. What kind of car would Seamus have then?
Oh, God.
Dead people.
Okay, but wait.
Pitmobile.
Cadillac.
The human centipede
and like,
motorcycle.
And the rules, you have to paint it gold.
Jesus. I mean, you could already use Avatar Nicodem for it. Yeah.
Like, he's just being carried by a bunch of zombies.
I would be hilarious to play as Lady Justice in that.
Because she's blind?
Yes, because she's blind. Okay, now I want this game. Great. Awesome.
Sold.
All right.
Next up.
Yeah, I think we're done with that. Turn 4 is measuring widgets. your thoughts on using them, possibly making them required, and stuff like that. And this is Dave's sort of baby topic. So actually, we'll let him start. I'm changing up the turn order. I'm going rogue.
Okay.
So you are Dave, the TO.
Explain yourself. I am the TO.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
I am mad with power.
So basically, the idea is, because I'm a slow player in Malifaux, I'll admit it. So any way I can not have to fight with a tape measure to make sure I have an accurate movement, or be unsure if I've walked 4 inches the way somebody else is expecting me to measure, just get that out of the way would be great. Many people make widgets that are, you know, a 1-2-3 L shape, or the classic Idaho one, which is a whole bunch of different ones, including like half inch for games that support that. But just ways to make movement measuring quicker and easier, especially in a tournament play. If people are more interested in that, the longer they play or the more tournament play they do, or if they even think about it at all. It was kind of the idea behind it.
So, I just kind of threw that out there as a crazy idea, but do you think that it should be something mandatory at some point?
No, no. I think you should be able to play the game with just a tape measure, as they sell in the starter pack. But if you want to get faster, but things like line of sight, instead of calling a TO over, having a line laser will solve that way faster than waiting for a TO to come over in a tournament setting, for example.
Okay. Vic, what's your opinion on gaming aids?
Just using them and having them?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to a lot of tournaments and you feel like you're slowing down the game with your measuring, it might be a good investment for you. But, like, I don't play a ton of games, and I don't really... I guess personally, I don't care how long my games take, so I don't mind if somebody's measuring and remeasuring. And beyond that, with like a measuring widget, yeah, they do the 1-2-3, but a lot of my stuff, I need way more than that. I need like 12 and 18 inches because I bring bells all the time.
Oh, jeez. Just thinking of a widget that goes up to 12 inches.
Right? Like, that would be ridiculous for just for how I play.
Oh, wait, that's a ruler. What am I talking about? This is literally a ruler.
It's literally a ruler. But, like, line lasers, I think, would be amazing. It's just very difficult to find them. At least for, like, a reasonable price.
Trey.
I think that the small measuring widgets, wow, that's a tongue twister, should definitely be mandatory, like 1-2-3 inches. I think you should definitely have something at the table other than a ruler to measure engagement distances, because attempting to get your ruler in there for 1-4 inches is just not possible. You're rolling it up and trying to squeeze it between models, and your measuring is never accurate. So regardless of speed of play, I think that it makes your game more accurate and better overall. But another thing we talked about for the measuring widgets, or the widgets in general, is the tokens. I think that it is mandatory for tokens to be labeled.
Labeled or just obvious as to what they are?
I see that as the same thing. Labeled is means I can see what it is.
That's a scheme marker, that's a corpse marker, that's a scrap marker, sort of a thing, right?
Exactly. Like, not I have 730 mil bases and each one means something different.
Okay.
Or I use blank bases for everything and I just memorize what they are.
Exactly.
Mark, you're new. Thoughts?
Yeah, I can see, like, kind of going back to what Dave and Victor were saying, I can see it for, like, tournament settings, but, you know, who's going to drop $150 on a line laser to play Malifaux, I guess? I mean, maybe some people do.
I don't think they're that much.
They're, like, maybe $8.
Still quite a bit for...
Yeah.
Maybe I'm looking at the wrong stuff then.
You're just gonna burn a line into the tabletop.
I was thinking more like the construction ones, where, you know, what they would use to put up like a ceiling grid or something, you know, have the wide laser. But
yeah.
But you know, that's something that, you know, a TO for a tournament should, you know, if you're running a tournament, you should have that stuff, you know, available for the tournament use. But, like, just casual games, I can't imagine, you know, if someone's going slow, I guess I could get razzed by the other guy. But, you know, just, you know, like I said, just casual games, I can't imagine why you would force someone to use that. But tournament settings, you know, that should be all provided by the TO.
Well, I run tournaments and I don't have a supply of widgets.
If it's required, I meant. If it's required to have it, then the TO should be the one providing it.
Honestly, I would really like to have one. It's just something I never really think about. And I do have that problem of... I can eyeball pretty well my large distance movements, my 5, my 4, my 6 inches. But actually having an idea of my engagement range, apparently I'm just terrible at it. So yeah, I think that would be nice. I would be okay with actually having them be required. I wouldn't go out of my way to say they should be. But if they were, I think it'd be okay as long as Weird gave us a heads up. Be like, hey, in a year, we think widgets really help the game all, overall, so we're going to make them required for tournament play in 2018. Letting people prep for that. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool that a lot of, like, bigger tournaments give out stuff for free, and widgets is one of those things that is often handed out. So I'm sure there's people out there with lots of them and has no idea what to do with them. You can send them to me, just saying. But I kind of want to morph this topic into accessories in general. What you think would be great for possibly Weird to start producing? They used to do those accessory packs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have bases that were different colors. But other than that, do you think they should get into the accessories market, making accessories for the game of Malifaux? Top of the key, Dave.
I know this is controversial in Malifaux, but flat terrain would be nice. Just for forests, rough terrain, that sort of thing.
He can't see you.
Because... you know, some of the terrain, especially at our shop, it's very easy to kind of bump around while you're measuring because it's mm-hmm. 3D and not very well made to support models on it or near it. So just, again, taking another thing from War Machine was people got into flat terrain for things like that, like forests especially.
And it's boring ass to look at, but I understand what you're
talking
about.
It is very much, yeah.
So, will you say, like, requiring it, or just, like, making it available for purchase? Be like, hey, like, super basic terrain set that isn't eye-catching at all, but it's terrain.
Yeah, because Malifaux is all about terrain for much of the game. So having easy ways to quickly get your own terrain for your own table at home, that'd be pretty attractive.
Yeah, I would use it over the aquarium stuff we have. I really don't like the aquarium, like sunken logs and all that jazz. But anyway, I'm taking over Victoria's turn. Vic,
so stop it. Honestly, if Weird made measuring widgets and like line lasers and that kind of stuff available, I'd probably give them my money for it. Do I think they should? That's kind of on the line there. They would have to do some cost-benefit analysis on that, because it might just cost too much to do that kind of a thing, especially for a small company.
Get War Game Vault to do it.
I've actually never seen flat terrain in use, so I don't have an opinion on that, but the aquarium stuff at our local games shop is not my favorite thing ever, so.
We've got plenty of terrain, but, you know, for tournaments, when we're running a little dry, yeah, the aquarium stuff comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Trey?
Can you hear me?
No. He was trying to talk, and y'all cannot hear him, so he's going to come to my mic.
Okay.
Okay.
Trey.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I can hear you now. There you are. I think that the only thing that Weird should start making that should be somewhat mandatory for them is the markers. Because when you pick up a starter set with the two different factions that hopefully a friend and you are trying to play with, everything is in there that you need. The fate deck, the measuring tape, the models, the cards. But then you're like, well, what are we going to use as a marker? So it'd be really cool if they threw something small and simple in there to use as markers.
Yeah, I could get on board with that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Mark, you agree?
As a new player, that would definitely help with, you know, because I bought some and it took, you know, 2.5 weeks to get to me. So, because it was bought from a company out of Europe. So, you know, if they had some place, you know, in the States that, you know, was their, you know, preferred, I guess, dealer at that point, they could, you know, make stuff that's, you know, kind of standardized.
Don't suggest another Monopoly. Don't do it.
Not a Monopoly, but a suggested retailer, at least. Something that would standardize what, you know, what everyone uses, I guess.
I mean, my Etsy stuff works just fine. But there's a bunch of people who sell the acrylic cut things on Etsy and stores like that.
Yeah, and I've seen all that, and I agree that buying those is awesome. But for someone who's not interested in paying more money to just look at a game or play it once or twice to see if I like it, the starter set is an awesome buy. But then you still have to figure something out for the markers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, strictly for the starter set, I would suggest cardboard punch-outs.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That would work too.
They get the job done, and they'll last for a little bit until you become a real player and don't paint. I mean, just have a storage tote full of models that you're going to paint at some point. But hey, look at all these 30 mil bases that aren't doing anything. We could use those for something else.
Don't bring up that box. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, we all have that embarrassment. That is a skeleton in everyone's closet.
Or on the table that the wife gets mad about.
way back when we first started, I bought Pandora. She's still not painted, so, you know.
Well, that's because you chose Rezzers.
True, but still.
What's wrong with Rezzers?
Are you hitting it? Okay. Nothing wrong with Rezzers,
it's just the
Pandora isn't Rezzers. Yeah. That was a problem. But on top of the, what's up?
How's that? It makes sense now.
Okay. On top of the cardboard punch-outs, I think an official Weird sanctioned set would be really nice. They don't have to be nice. Leave that to the Etsy people or you if you want to make your own markers, but something that's official and, oh god, a case? Like a case for them? Would be so nice, because I feel like I'm spending so much time digging around this little box I carry around for the correct type of marker. And a widget would be nice. Just going all the way back to the widget thing before we change topics, I have a serious problem with accidentally picking up my own models with the tape measure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll measure the distance, and then the tape measure will hook under someone's arm, and then they get lifted off the table, and we just gotta guess where they were.
Or grab a piece of terrain.
Hmm. Alright. I think we've talked enough about that. Moving on to turn 5... The Guilders program, and what that has turned into. Whose topic was this?
Trey.
Trey's? Yeah, it was Trey's. Trey, why don't you helm this one?
So, I don't like the Guilders program at all as it currently is, and I think the proof that it's a failure is looking on Weird Trades and Off Topic. There is always Guilders for sale, because the majority of people just don't use them or don't want them, and I absolutely love the idea of giving someone a guilder when they go to a tournament or a Weird sanctioned event or something. I think that's awesome. I've never seen something like that before, but I have two guilders that I will probably never use because there's nothing useful to use them on. I have most of the masters that they have, and I'm not interested in the old sculpts of those masters. So basically I just have something that's going to sit around and do nothing with.
What? You can use it as bragging rights or something. I don't know. What's your fix, I guess?
I think it'd be cool that all these alt sculpts that they come out with on like the Black Friday events and things like that, they keep those in rotation and keep those available for the Guilders program. So that if you don't actually want to buy or can't buy any models on Black Friday because of money or because you don't want any of those or whatever it may be, you can go back a month or two later and use your Guilders to buy those alt models.
Yeah. That sounds good. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to any. I haven't got any Guilders, but it's. I feel like it should be more of a grind for them, and it should have better prizes for it. And also something along the lines of, I mean, you'd have to almost have everyone register with Weird to do this, but, you know, as the Guilders are set for a person, and, you know, the. Because it. You just, I mean, like Trey was saying, you go on these websites and everyone is just selling their Guilders. I don't, you know, you go and you spend, you know, people are trying to sell a Guilder for $5 a piece, and then you got to, you know, you can trade it in for a master at like what, how many Guilders? You got like 10 Guilders to turn into a master or something? So
five.
So that's $25 just for a single model. And
hey, Ashes and Dust is $40.
Okay, so I guess it makes sense on Ashes and Dust, but I don't know. I feel like it should be more of a grind, and like I said, I'm not sure how they would do this outside of registering everybody, but, you know, assigning Guilders for a person so it's not just resale.
Mm-hmm. I actually know exactly where that $5 per Guilder amount comes to. Because that obviously totals up to $25 per master. But the alt sculpts, all of them except for like the $300 ones, once they get back to just selling them individually, those settle in at $25 a pop. So you can get an alt master and that's roughly worth around $25, or like your alt Barbaros, your Miss Series, all those things. Weird is saying they're roughly around $25. My thoughts are just start adding new stuff. It doesn't even have to be like new models that you can only get with the program. Don't even have to like leave it just to the alts, just something. Cause we're only got what, seven models to pick from? And considering how prolific some people are at our tournaments, they already have all those models, and they can't do anything with this. It could also just be turned in as, like, a coupon for, like, not five, even less than that. $4 off a purchase from the web store. Bam. You have a use for them.
Yeah.
And I think the worst part is on the website, it's just like, hey, stay tuned, we're going to add stuff to this. And that was, what, September? It feels like they dropped the program. So, I mean, why bother with it now when they're obviously... Why keep Guilders when eventually they're just going to say, we're not doing this anymore and it's worth nothing when you can try to, like, sell it off for something? Victoria?
I'm not that familiar with Guilders, but with what you guys are talking about, it really just sounds like they need to add stuff that you can trade them in for.
Okay, quick recap of the Guilder program for folks that don't know. Guilders are little, they're poker chips, and they hand them out with tournament pack prize packs. So, sort of as an incentive for people to come to the tournament, it's like, hey, you show up for the tournament, you get a Guilder coin, and I think they mark the 5 Guilder one for the first place winner. I think there's a 3 floating around there, I'm not sure what that's for. But say, hey, you win a tournament, you get a master sculpt. Or, hey, you go to 5 tournaments, you get an old school master sculpt. Dave?
Yeah, it just needs more options. Because I only play Arcanist right now. I really don't care about the Rasputina sculpt. I have
Boo some, on you, sir!
I actually in a mystery box got Vintage Sonya. No interest in picking up anything Guild. Just having the option of like that alt Joss that came out recently. Oh, I would totally spend Guilders on that. Or yeah, give me a discount on the web store. Just something else I can use these for. Would be great. Otherwise, yeah, kill it. Because it's a fun little memento from a tournament if I don't turn them in. But past that, it just sits on my desk.
Well, you could use them for poker night if you get enough of them.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, second thoughts and rebuttals. Going back to you, Trey.
I think everyone pretty much agrees that something needs to change, and what that may be is kind of up to Weird. I think we're all pretty much open to any idea.
That's just as long as they do something.
Yeah, just change something, add something, do anything.
Excuse me. All right, Mark?
Yeah, I don't got too much to add. It's just, yeah, change. Needs to be there at some point.
Doug. I'm Doug. Doug is up next. You know what actually would have been great? If they came out with... If it was like a guilder, three guilders, or five guilders. If they came out with... If instead of being poker chips, it was 30 millimeters, 40 millimeters, 50 millimeters. Because then you have a use for them. As markers, awesome. Or bases. What if you based a model on a guilder? Like that might be how much they're worth at the end of this.
The disrespect.
Special edition scheme markers.
That would sell so many Jacob Lynch boxes.
Oh my right? God, yes. Poker chip bases for Jacob Lynch? Holy crap. That's genius.
Brilliant.
I want that now. I mean, I would just love some custom bases. I mean, they used to do those. I don't think they do that anymore.
Base inserts?
Yeah. You know. Vickery!
I got nothing. I mean, like, everybody seems to agree they just need to do something.
Ooh, and we are at the 1 hour mark, wrapping this up with the last word. Dave, any more thoughts?
No, something he's done. Figure it out, Weird.
What a sad sort of note to end this on. But we got some more fun stuff down the pipe. What we're just doing is we're running with a pool of thoughts and topics, and we just add to those when we can, and then we bring up the most topical ones each episode, and then just go through the list as we see it. But we got some fun, flavorful stuff for the next episode, which should be coming next week. So this is the end of the first episode of Friday Night Fowdown. Thank you for listening. Thank all you guys for helping me out with this, and we'll maybe see at least a few of you next week. Thank you, Victoria.
Yay.
Trey.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mark.
Appreciate the invite, guys.
And the shambling corpse of Dave Hoffman.
Apparently, guilders are exactly 40 millimeters. Pro tip.
I know what I'm doing with them now. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you in a week. Bye.